Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, alongside Kevin Ealy. That's why we put that thing up, so you don't look at our stunned faces.
Surprise. When
we start off here. That is not Jeff Hawkins. Jeff is away spending time with family, and our thoughts and prayers go out to him. And you can check out his socials, see what happened. Unfortunately, his father passed away, and of course, we send our condolences to Jeff and the rest of his family. And I know he's going to be listening later. So Jeff, we're thinking of you and can't wait to have you back.
Yep.
But Kevin is sitting in and you've been off on your show for a while. So it'll be nice getting a chance to talk with you about AEW again.
I have been. Yeah. It's all stored up and probably forgotten.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Cause we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about from tonight. It was a big business in Boston. And obviously what everyone thought was going to happen happened. The debut of Mercedes Moné. And it definitely felt like there are some changes, you know, and based on, what happened and how the show went and whether that was good or bad, I guess we're going to talk about it. But I also think, whatever it is, whether it was good or bad, we can't necessarily judge it on one day. These things take time and we'll talk about that. But I'm trying to think, there was something. I wanted to talk about the ticket sales for this. So leading up to it, the tickets, they started out at a good pace. And I would say after the first week, it kind of was trending to hit, I thought 8,000 to 10,000, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of slowed down for a while. And every once in a while you'd check in and it'd be, we just went over 5,500. We just went over 6. And it's like, okay, we're going to hit 8. And then, it ended like, I think a couple of days ago, I'm not even sure if they were at 7 yet. And then all of a sudden today, somebody checked around noon and they were at just over 7. And then Dave Meltzer sends out a tweet about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, says, they're at like 9,300 with but a really low gate, like 340,000. But these tickets were price low. So, that kind of makes sense. And then WrestleTick sent out something and almost saying like he doesn't believe the number, I want to see some
just
pictures.
He wants to see pictures, just sort of stating like that he, he wants receipts basically.
And I mean, I got to say, it was hard to tell from the TV. Because they shot it pretty well. And I will say, their audiences always look the same. Like, they shoot it the same.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell. Like, they did some wide shots, and it definitely looked like some of the upper levels were full, which usually they're blacked out. So that was good. And they were loud for certain parts of it. So other parts, they were dead. Mm-hmm. They were definitely there for Mercedes.
Definitely.
And I think, they obviously, however many people they got in there was good. And, even if there was a bunch of comps, like the key is get as many people in that building as you can.
Yeah.
So I think it was pretty good. And they sold a lot of tickets for next week as well. I think they're at like 5,500 for Toronto and that's still the week to go. Yeah.
They announced a big match
with two local
for weeks
guys
in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you debut Ospreay, you debut Okada, you debut Mercedes, Okada and Ospreay aren't announced for next week's show, but, they'll probably be there. You don't know.
That's one
frustrating thing. Like, they're coming here in May and I don't know if, I'm going to see Okada and Ospreay. I hope so.
Yeah.
I assume so. I mean, I guess if I get 2 out of 3, what did Meatloaf you say? 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. If I can get Mercedes, Okada, or Ospreay, I'll be happy. And Kenny will be a bonus. It's a good week for AEW. The news came out also this week that Okada allegedly signed a contract for 2 billion yen, which works out to about 13.5 million US.
Which Matt Jackson made a reference to later in the show.
He did. And then Dave Meltzer claims it was nowhere near that amount. He wrote in the Wrestling Observer. And then Sean Ross Sapp, who originally reported it, doubled down. And so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he got. Whatever he got, he was happy. And whatever he got was probably more than WWE was offering. And, you know, good for him, whatever it was. I mean, I could see that being that amount. I mean, I would say all the big stars on these wrestling shows are worth that much and probably even more.
Yeah.
More shout out to Jeff and Nick Ferrante. Thanks for the kind words. And Jeff, just in case you're only listening and not hearing, Nick sends a shout out for you guys. So, we'll talk about the Ospreay promo as well. And there's a reason I voted him best on promos last year in the Wrestling Observer Awards. So I'm sticking by that. And we'll
he was in my top three, promo. I think. Yeah.
He was the top Christian. Three, and he wasn't two or three.
Yeah.
I've seen enough Ospreay promos. Yeah. Yeah. He cut a great one tonight.
So let me ask you this. Real quick. Do you think this show, if they had announced Mercedes, do you think this show would have had to do anything different tonight? Like, was there anything that this show actually like benefited from her being surprised? Do you think that crowd would have been any less excited if they knew in advance?
No,
confirmed. I'll say that everybody knew.
Yeah, no, I don't. So I think like what they were going for was the same thing they got with CM Punk. Mm-hmm. And they did the exact same thing they did with CM Punk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was literally the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was.
They opened up the show. I think with the Punk thing, they didn't even do anything. Like, I don't even think the announcer said a word. We didn't get anything backstage. It just opened with his music.
Yeah.
So this was close to that. Yeah. I will say that if they would have advertised her ahead of time and held it off to the end, I think maybe it would have got a bigger reaction. But for what they were doing, they had to do it the way they did it. Because, I mean, we'll get into what she said and what happened on the show. Mm-hmm. But without the setup, you couldn't have done what you were going to do. Now, whether or not that was the best thing for the show, that's conjecture. I was texting back and forth with a good friend of mine who listens to the show. And, and I respect his opinion a lot. And he's a huge AEW fan. He travels all over the country to see shows. Like, you know, he's got money and he, you know, he'll travel on a whim. If a card looks good, oh, I'm going to, you know, whatever, but you know, Phoenix, I'm going to, you know, New York. Like if the show looks good, he'll go there. And one of the comments he made, and I really was thinking about it, the show almost felt the exact reverse of how you would actually put a show on. Like, you know,
yeah,
I like
the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like you would have started with Willow and Riho and then you would have done the Jericho hook and then, you know, and the middle was the same. And then you would have built to the world title match and then you would have had Mercedes come out after the world title match.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that sense, it felt backwards, but I understand why they did it the way they did it. Because she was out there to set a tone and basically to say things are changing. And then part of that change was the women in the main event and whether or not, you know, they deserve to be. I will say my first reaction was, this is kind of lame. Like Willow and Riho, like out of
she said Willow and the main event is Willow versus Riho. And you're like, isn't there a world title match? And like Jay White versus
Jay White, Darby Allin, there was the Okada, like the Elite against Penta and Eddie and Pac's return.
Right.
Like those are big matches.
Yeah.
And so that was my first reaction. But then I thought about it and I will say that, you know, like the match could have been better, but it was pretty good. And the crowd was into it. They didn't lose the crowd too much. They were hot for the end. And then they got to close with Mercedes. Yeah.
And so, I think they probably knew that. Like, I think everyone was read the tea leaves. Yeah. Everyone was kind of reading the tea leaves of the reason this match is in the main event is because we're going to get to see Mercedes again.
Well, not just that, but because, like, I mean, me maybe thinking that I know more, you know, like I know stuff from inside and stuff, and I talk to people. I thought that it was there because of Mercedes. This is part of her deal. Like, we're going to bring you in, and women are going to be main eventing.
This is a statement that women are being platformed again higher than the men. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? This is something they need. Yeah. Not necessarily, not every show. But, you know, it's almost like affirmative action. Like, you have to take action to change things. And yeah.
Right. And maybe you have to stick with it. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe on this particular show, Wardlow and Joe should have been, quote unquote, should have been the main event.
Mm-hmm.
But based on where they were, based on who was debuting, based on mm-hmm. where they're going, it made sense to have the women in the main event. And they did, like, they actually did a great video package before the match, putting yes, over. I actually would have aired that mm-hmm. video package earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they showed Willow, they showed her beating Mercedes, they showed her winning the Owen, they showed Riho as the first world champion beating Nyla, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, which was, you know, you look at Nyla, you look at Willow, you know, bigger women, like bigger than her. I mean, you know,
yep.
So yeah, like just, a lot of good stuff to say about the show. And I'm worried as I go through it that people are going to think I didn't like it. but I will yeah. like, I put it,
it was
way,
both like a, it was both like a really, really good, well-structured show and also like kind of a by the number show.
Yeah.
Is how I felt.
And it if was you like, had your, yeah. if you had your sights set on this being like the best Dynamite ever, you might be disappointed. That's all
yeah,
I'm saying. Probably, like,
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Matt says if he were TBS, he wouldn't be happy with the promotion strategy. He doesn't get it. Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. I mean, I
think you have to like, you have to decide which master you're going to serve with your mm-hmm. layout, you know? And I think for Tony, I think you could say, and it depends on if he's talking, if Matthew's talking about, if since he's talking about TBS, I presume
he's saying, talking about not advertising her ahead of time.
Yeah. We'll see tomorrow if the first segment of that, but clearly she had a long segment planned, and clearly Tony Khan's strategy, I think, was start right off. I mean, like, I was walking my dog, I had to start late, and I looked at my phone and a notification popped up, AEW debuts with, Mercedes Moné debuts with AEW.
Oh, like you got that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like a little news hit notification. Hmm. And it was 7:01, which would be 1 minute into the show. So clearly I think what his strategy was, bring her out immediately, let the news go out, and anybody who's not watching, who is even, remotely plugged in or on social media at that time will go, and her segment will be long enough to where it will grow viewers over the first 10-15 minutes and hopefully stick around after that.
And the first segment usually grows anyways.
Right.
So, you know, and then plus you're going to get that Big Bang Theory audience who right. a lot of them probably know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they see her, oh, that's Sasha Banks. You know, like they may not even know Mercedes, they may not even know AEW, but they see Sasha, you know, and they know who that is. So I'll bet you that first segment, I'm going to go on a limb and say, like, it's going to do like 1.1 million.
Ah.
Like, it's going to do a huge number now, but there's probably going to be a big drop off after.
Yeah, going to have like 300,000 drop off or something after the first 15 minutes because they didn't promise her again.
That's right.
Like, I think this is one of those occasions where she should have said, like,
I'll be there watching the main event.
I'm going to be there to watch the main event and, you know, and have her come out before the match to do another, you know, entrance, come sit down. She didn't have to be on commentary because I think putting her in commentary probably wouldn't set her up well.
Yeah.
But just have her sitting there watching front row and building up the history with Willow and all that, you know. And
yeah, I've got history with Willow. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Riho since AEW started. I've been dreaming of a match with her back when I was a world champion elsewhere. She was a world champion here, and this was a dream match. You know, something like that. You know,
yeah.
Okay, Dean. Well, I'll take you up on that bet. We'll see. I want one thing I want to ask you before we get into the show.
Sure.
Around 6:30 today, and this is our time. So I'm saying a half hour to an hour before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thoughts? Did you feel like this feels like tonight's a real big deal or not?
I mean,
another regular Wednesday.
It didn't feel like a regular Wednesday. I was definitely like,
I don't necessarily mean before. How you personally felt about it. I meant like,
did I feel how, like the buzz?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I a little bit, but not, they've been a lot bigger. Like this definitely is at First Dance level. And I don't think anyone expected that, but like, I'm trying to think of an example that I thought would have been bigger. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but just my gut feeling was like, this feels like a big deal. I also may not be the best judge. I was really busy today and had a lot of crazy stuff going on in between work and here. So I really honestly wasn't, you know, seeing the things where, you know, people were chatting about it and stuff.
But for me, I'll say it did feel like that.
Yeah.
I just felt like a lot of buzz, but then as the show was going on, I wasn't necessarily feeling it. So I feel like once people saw Sasha, that's it. Or sorry, Mercedes, that's it. Like I'm not saying, and you know, so the rest of the show is the rest of the show, and we'll see what happens next week, and we'll see what the ratings were, and you know, the follow up and everything. But
I would not be surprised if she turns out to be a pretty good ratings draw that doesn't contribute to the overall success of the show. Like,
yeah,
she will by her number, but I could see her being a star that, like, you know, bumps the number up whenever she's on, and especially when she's announced, but then like her audience tunes out when she's not on. I could see that happening.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I thought was going to happen when, you know, rumors were first coming about her, and it'll be interesting to hear how long she signed for and what the terms are and what else she can do. And so we'll get all that and we'll fill you in as we hear, and maybe we'll even have Kevin back once or twice to talk about it. You know, even when Jeff's back, cause we've talked about that. We like Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's a part of the show. Boom goes the dynamite. So the show started cold open. Like I didn't get the opening the opening credits. Did you?
No, they didn't do it.
I didn't think so. Yeah, that's what I thought. So it opens up with Renee backstage, and she's running down the card, and a limo arrives, and the door opens, and
Mercedes limousine.
Oh, was it a Mercedes?
It was a Mercedes. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So that was your clue. I'm not too bright. They go into the arena, and all of a sudden CEO comes on the screen, and that music is obnoxious, but it's going to work.
It's going to work because it cues them really well.
Yeah.
I didn't love it. the thing that was bugging me, and I looked it up after and confirmed it, it's the same as Walter's old music.
Oh,
it's a hip hop remix of, I forgot the artist.
When you say his old music, do you mean what he had on the indies or in WWE to start?
WWE to start.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they say it's a remix of that. It's Symphony Number 9-4. I can't remember the composer. But it's a hip hop.
Well, he's kind of using that again, you know.
Like, is he really?
Yeah. It starts like that and then it changes. So,
yeah. So I think it's more like, it may not totally be that. It may just be the intro, like the way they do Danielson. Yeah. They play Ride of the Valkyries for like just a little bit and then
move on.
Oh my gosh. That's good.
And it's like, you can't tell if it's a crowd or it's the music. I mean, it's obviously the music at the beginning, but then when the music stopped, I mean, you know, the chant kept going. So it was good. So she comes out, she's labeled as a 7-time world champion. So they're counting her WWE titles, obviously. She had a long fur jacket with CEO on the back, and she's also got CEO in her hair. And I think it said All Elite in her hair as well.
Yep.
And on the back of her jacket. Yeah. The crowd was chanting CEO, I wrote, but it sounded piped in. But then when the music stopped, they gave her a nice ovation. You heard the CEO chants again, and she's smiling and she's also in tears. And then she gets her chant or her promo. So for those of you that might be new to this, I try to transcribe these promos. We'll see how I do. So she says, Boston, I'm home. And the fans chant, welcome home. Said, if you could feel my heart, it's beating out of my chest. First and foremost, thank you for having my back the last 2 years. Thank you for giving me the courage and strength to be here, for sticking with me through all my highs and lows, my highs, my milestones, my titles, my moments, my history-making moments. Thank you. And trust me, we're going to be creating so much more magical moments together, because every single one of you are the reason I'm here. Thank you. I love you. And there's another chant. CEO, I love you guys. If you only knew how much tonight means to me, how much this means to me, how much wrestling means to me. In so many ways, wrestling has changed and it saved my life. Wrestling has given me hopes and dreams, a place to dream. Legendary people like Eddie Guerrero gave me a dream that I could do this one day too. Fans chanted, Eddie. And she looks to this guy, she says, thank you, Eddie, for letting me believe in my dreams. And she says, my dreams got me to lead a women's evolution. My dreams made me become the first ever woman to main event a pay-per-view in this very building. My dreams started when I was only 10. And when I was 13, I dropped out of school to take care of my brother. And she says, I love you, Joshua. And then those dreams at 18 years and only 90 pounds in North Landover, Massachusetts, in a place called, I think she said Chaotic Wrestling.
Chaotic Wrestling, I think.
Yeah. To become the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And if I can do it, you can do it too. So let's get down to business, huh?
You too, Paul, can be the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
Well, I don't know about that.
hey, she said if she can do it, you can too.
Well, I think she means my dreams, which I'm actually pretty much doing my dreams. So here you go.
Yeah.
She said, so you want to know why I'm here? Those are lame dreams, to host a podcast. Because I need to be here. I want to be here. AEW is the only place where this revolution can be global. Didn't Rhea Ripley just
title that, that was a weird line.
Yeah. We're going to make that happen. I'm watching week after week and everyone in that locker room. I can't wait to tear it up with you. And let's start with our main event tonight. Riho versus Willow Nightingale. And now, Willow, you and I got a lot of unfinished business. But right now at Big Business, Mercedes Moné is all elite. They put the graphic up. She's the fans chant CEO. And she says to our chairman, Tony Khan, thank you so much for that tweet. And thank you to all AEW fans watching at home. Say hello to your new CEO. And she takes off her jacket and she poses. I will say something slightly negative here.
Okay.
To me, this was almost the exact promo Saraya cut when she debuted.
Mm, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I think the crowd was more with Mercedes here than they were with Saraya, although I, you know, they were into Saraya at the beginning. It kind of changed. So I mean, the key is the follow-up, you know, as always. Yeah, and the immediate follow-up here was better. You know, you could tell right away, like the first night, that whatever Saraya was talking about was not going to work.
Yeah,
I think she was like a commissioner or something. Like,
yeah
I didn't quite understand what was going on, but Mercedes just telling us here, you know what, I'm here, women are in the main event, and you better buckle in because we're not going anywhere, kind of what she said. But she, you know, she took credit for the revolution, which she should, you know, she's a big part of it.
She said evolution and revolution, which is funny. Well, she switched back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. But what'd you think?
Is she the chief elite officer or is she a chief executive officer? I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if we'll get an explanation.
Yeah. CEO.
So, CEO.
Doesn't matter. That's fine. Does it really matter? It's like, is Will Ospreay a heel? Who cares?
He's not a heel.
He is a heel. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about it. I mean, the fans love him. He's the biggest baby face to those fans in the building. So that's all that matters.
I took the note of you can take the girl out of WWE, but can you take the WWE out of the girl? I don't know if that's fair.
Well,
but it felt like a very WWE rehearsed, let me speak from my heart, but it's very kind of scripted kind of thing. Yeah. So I think that's just her. I mean, I'm not saying any of it wasn't genuine or whatever, but I think it's just, it's kind of like she's more on the Copeland side than the Punk side of like, you're not going to get a reinvented Mercedes Moné. She's still the person she was then. And with it, even though she started at Chaotic Wrestling, she was trained. She's WWE bred.
My biggest issue with Punk's initial promo was he basically claimed that, you know, he left professional wrestling when, you know, like when he left Ring of Honor, and then he's back now. Meanwhile, the reason he's a global superstar is because of WWE, and he's basically telling all of his fans, well, everything you saw in WWE doesn't matter. And so for Mercedes to do that, she's actually being true to herself. She knows the fans that were with me in WWE.
That's an important difference. Yeah,
exactly.
I built something there and I'm going to build it here.
And you're going to come with me.
Yes.
And for me to, you know, just shit
this
on
is
WWE.
The next step. Like, I like presenting that. Like we achieved great heights together. And the only way we're going to achieve higher heights is if we come here, which I like. I like phrasing it that way.
And she's here. She's here to do here what she did over there. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And she didn't and she didn't put down the division. That was the mistake Saraya made. Saraya put down the division that she was joining.
Yeah.
Like she basically said, this division is crap and I'm gonna turn it around.
Right.
Sasha just said, we're gonna do great things.
Right.
She didn't, you know, she said there's a lot of great women there. I wanna wrestle all of you. So you know, like she, you know, so that's something they learned.
And, I love the little there's just a little thing she threw in about how she watches the show.
Yes.
And it was such a simple thing that people don't really say, you know, like the performers don't ever really talk about watching the show, you know, but her just saying, I watch AEW every week was kind of a neat, I don't know, it's just kind of endearing.
And Punk never said that, but you could tell he did because he knew who everybody right. was. He's talking right. about
usually Harvey. They'll say like, I've seen yeah. your work or I've he's seen your matches. About
Hook. You know, like he was the guy that said, send Hook. You know, like, it's like, well, right. you must be watching the show if you know who Hook is.
Right.
You know, like at the time, you know, like, whereas with Saraya, it was like, you got the impression that, you know, they hired her and she'd never watched the show and she's still not watching the show. She'll watch her segments, maybe, you know? Yeah. So they go to the announcers and Shivani calls us a movement we're never going to forget. And they showed highlights of Joe laying out Swerve last week and they go to Renee backstage with Joe. And right away, she welcomes Mercedes. And so they're, you know, like they're going back, they're putting over how important this is. Mm-hmm. And she says, in a few moments, your world title's on the line. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. And Joe says, it feels like money.
Yeah.
So even he's putting her over. Mm-hmm. And he says, but what doesn't feel different is you, Wardlow. I've not forgotten what happened last time we were in the ring together. When debts need to be paid, Wardlow, you are far overdue. I take no quarter, and this was the biggest mistake of your career, getting into this. Now,
I don't lose in the garden.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
which I like.
The next thing that happened, I have no idea why this made air. This should not have made air. I wish I didn't have to talk about it. I started transcribing it. I just gave up halfway through.
Oh yeah.
Basically, Adam Cole was reading a book, telling a fairy tale. Yeah. It wasn't quite Shane McMahon and the, you know, talking about the giant and the beanstalk or whatever that was. Oh God, but
I forgot about that.
It was almost as bad. Once upon a time, there was a man, a warrior named Wardlow, deceived and lied to, looked away, guarded by an evil man, a devil. I think the point of this was to kind of tell us that MJF's coming back. he slayed many beasts, adorned in gold. He longed for a kingdom that hated him as much as he hated them or something. A warrior was ready to vanquish the champion and fulfill his destiny and present the prize to his kind. And then I just wrote, I give up.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty much me too. I was, I would have skipped it if I didn't expect to have to talk about it.
Oh, it was not good.
Yeah, that was really bad. And it looks like they put a lot of effort into it too. They had
everything.
And
they had like a nice video and they showed MJF and, I think there was a point to this, but I'm not sure.
Well, the one thing was that it actually got me thinking for about 2 seconds, maybe Wardlow will actually win
and present the belt.
Because I was like, if they're putting all this effort into it and they're starting to tease MJF and all that, well, clearly they must be building up Wardlow as a big bad to, like, you know, maybe he'll win. It'll be a shock because it's one of those, what you talked about the electricity earlier of like, did it feel like a big night? This was one of those things where it was like, oh, they put a little effort into this and like Wardlow came out in new tights and you know, those kind of little cues that
new graphics too. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. Style of the graphics was different.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that just planted just enough of like, ooh, maybe they'll do something crazy just to get people, you know, people talking.
You thought maybe MJF was going to show up, thought maybe Britt Baker might show up. I don't even think Cole was there. I mean, they did this pre-tape.
No, he didn't.
And then
come
later
out.
On, yeah, Roddy wasn't. He wasn't with Roddy, and he wasn't in this match. So, but yeah, we did get the match. Samoa Joe and Wardlow. Fans were chanting "Meat" early. Someone had a sign. I said Joe is going to kill you, and I think it was a plant because Wardlow ripped it up. Someone else had a sign that said, "I paid to see Sammy." Poor dude.
Yeah. Sorry, dude.
I don't know if someone told
him. Take it up with Sammy.
Yeah. I don't know if they took it away from him, but they only saw it a couple times and that was it.
Yeah. I saw that.
At one point, Taz said, Joe has a head the size of a small farmhouse. And the announcers just went quiet. And then I think Tony said, what am I supposed to say to that? And then Taz says, you're supposed to put it over.
Yeah.
It's like, nope.
I hate it when Taz pops me.
Yeah.
Because I hate that kind of stuff when he does that, but then he'll make me laugh and I can't be mad at him. And then I'm mad at him all over again.
Well, he said something later that was really dumb.
He'll do this crazy stuff where he'll talk about, like, you know, how Joe uses footworks and hip action to do that snap power slam. And I'm like, that's the stuff I like from Taz, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you just got to take the good with the bad. It's kind of like Nigel. Crowd was totally into Joe. I mean, they're two heels, but Joe was definitely the baby face of this crowd.
Yeah.
They did the yay boo spot and, you know, the fans were totally into Joe. He had a spinning power bomb for two. Wardlow, his knee buckled shortly after that, and they, you know, they did the thing playing off when his knee went out against
Phoenix. Crowd did not buy that.
No, but the ref did. And then that allowed Wardlow to get the advantage, gouged Joe's eye, put him on the top, did that dropping knee move for two. Mm-hmm. That was a good near fall. He was bleeding from the mouth from something that happened during the commercial, and he had a big mouse under his right eye as well. He went to the top, missed his swanton. Joe did the punches in the corner. Wardlow powerbombed him out of the corner and dropped his singlet, but Joe reversed it, put on the Kikina clutch, dragged him to the mat, and Wardlow passed out without tapping. And that was that. I mean, the match was good. I would say it wasn't good. Great.
Yeah.
But it was fine. It was,
I think,
almost every match in the show was almost exactly like this. It was like good, but not great.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Back down the mountain, I guess, for Wardlow. All that build up and didn't come through. So I don't know if that's going to lead to some sort of, you know, failure story where Adam starts talking down to him and they start teasing him turning again.
It's weird because the I don't know what's going on with the Kingdom. Like, you know, there seems like they're trying to court Kyle O'Reilly and, you know, mm-hmm. like he's not really into it. I just have a feeling somehow this is going to end up with Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole teaming together. Everyone else, maybe Matt Taven. But
I have a thought about that, but I'll save it for the Kyle O'Reilly promo.
Okay. Here. All right. And then so Joe's celebrating. Swerve comes out. He comes down the ramp. He's got a bunch of security trying to hold him back, and Nana's with him, and he's taking out all the security. He's got a chain, and he rushes the ring, but Joe bails. Crowd's going nuts. This is a really good segment, like, you know, for heat. You could just hear that chain going nonstop, and Joe just bails, and he laughs at him. And crowd's chanting whose house. And then as Joe's walking up the ramp, he sees the security guard just lying there and kicks him off the stage.
I love that so much. That was just with disdain.
Yeah.
Like it was a piece of litter.
Get out of my way, dude.
Well, 10 years from now, that guy will come back and be world champion because it's the MJF story all over again.
Exactly,
where he pushed him in the hallway when he was the extra.
Or we're going to find out it's like MJF's brother or something.
Right.
And he's gonna come back for revenge on Joe. Yeah. We go backstage to Scoops Marvez, and he wants to get a word with the Elite earlier today. They're coming down an escalator. Matt's got a Best Boss coffee mug.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. He asks Okada, why are you affiliated with the Elite? Nick's like, have some respect for the best wrestler in the world. Call him by his full ass name. Look at his passport. The Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada. And then Matt says, I'll answer for him. He joined because of the synergy between three of the best athletes in the world. 14 years of friendship. He helped us out when he were at our lowest. And he says there's 14 million other reasons why he joined the Elite, and winks at the camera. And
a
then
million Okada, for every year of friendship.
Exactly. Okada says, say happy birthday to Matthew. And then so he says happy birthday. He says, no, sing it. That was great. And so Marvez starts singing happy birthday, and you can hear the crowd like singing along.
Yeah.
And they went to break, so unfortunately we didn't get to hear the whole happy birthday, but that was cute. Okada's like, he's such a good heel, but he's almost too good, because there's no way anybody's ever gonna boo him.
Like, no, because he's doing such a good job already, of just being that, like, just dickhead. Cocky, just
and
disdain.
So are the, I mean, the Bucks are too, so it, I mean,
yeah, but they ham it up more, and he's a little more, he plays a little more straight, where he's just like, I'm above this. And
I just
and
wonder
that he's,
if,
and also that he's, I like that he's entertained by them,
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he knows he's the franchise player, and he likes that they, like, you know, he doesn't even have to be that big of a jerk because they're even worse than him, you know?
I think if he, like, did something to, like, a serious level baby face, and you'd think Kingston is it, but maybe if it was, like, Ospreay. If he, like, did something to cost Ospreay the world title, like, then mm-hmm. they might actually boo him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what else. Like,
it'll be real interesting if they boo him. Yeah. Against Okada. I think it'll be a little bit like that Joe Swerve dynamic where it's like, yeah, both guys get cheered and you don't really know until the match happens. Like, they'll, you know,
against Kingston.
Yeah.
I think that they're good enough that by the end of the match, the fans are going to be totally into Eddie. That's what happened in the Danielson match. Like, yeah, at the beginning of the match, it was dueling, but by the end of the match, they were like, I wouldn't say 100%, but 90% behind Eddie.
And I think he'll do some things. They will figure out some things that he can do to just taunt the fans to where at least they'll know their role, and be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get into booing this guy.
Yeah, like you know, low blow.
Right, exactly.
Maybe no selling the back fist or something like that. No, they'll cheer that.
But stuff like that that's beneath him, you know.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Poking in the eye or low blow.
Maybe he does like a Japanese promo and like the Jacksons like
translate for him.
Just
do that.
Just like, but like, it's not even what he's saying, you know. Yeah, but just completely insulting Eddie, like, you know, you fat piece of crap, you know, like, you know. And meanwhile, it's like Okada just sitting there smiling, you know, like as if like he's actually saying it.
I did love that Rainmaker has been revealed to be on his passport.
Yes.
His
Well, I will say, okay, so if you think about it, Okada was always a cocky prick in New Japan, even when he became popular. And like, I would say for about 8 months last year, my favorite part of New Japan on the undercards was Okada just being an asshole to the young boys. Like, he just hated them, and they were beneath him, and he didn't want to do it. And this was all setting up this heel turn in AEW, is what it appears. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, so we got the match. The brand new Elite against Eddie Kingston, Penta, and the returning Pac. And this match, I mean, it went as you would expect. It was.
Let me ask you a real question before you get to the match.
Yeah.
Did you skip through the entrances?
More or less.
Okay.
I saw it on Collision. So I think it was basically the same.
Okay.
Where the Bucks do their entrance, then they flip the coin in the air, and when it hits the king, then Okada's music starts.
That's it's a nice touch. I didn't know if you'd seen that.
And I saw it on Collision. And this is why I skipped entrances.
Then you've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, but once I've seen it once, I've seen it.
Once you said I didn't watch Collision last week, so I hadn't seen the coin thing. But I also love that the Bucks are full on trolling Cody Rhodes with their pyro.
Yes.
Like, they're just doing the straight up over the top Cody Rhodes thing. And I think like Matt even does like
like Cody did as well.
Like Cody did, the Cody Vader.
Yeah.
So I like those, even though it's not great, like it's kind of useless.
Yeah.
I am enjoying the little inside troll things that they're doing to, you know.
And they are definitely getting booed.
The
crowd does not like them.
Yeah.
And they were totally behind Pac, and they were totally behind Kingston, and totally behind Penta. So this match worked. There was a lot of heat throughout the match. Well, I will say when they went to commercial and then they came back, they were quiet coming out of the commercial. But then when it was Eddie in there and Okada, that's what they were totally into. And that's good because they're wrestling next week. But there was a spot in this match when Eddie was chopping Okada and he chopped him down, and then Okada gets up and he hits his drop kick. Crowd give him a standing O, and Taz compared his drop kick to Hardcore Holly.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I laughed out loud. To be fair, Bob Holly had an excellent drop kick.
Bob Holly was a jobber from 20 years ago.
But he did have a heck of a drop kick. But first time I've ever heard Kazuchika Okada compared to Bob Holly,
and as if comparing him to Hardcore Holly is paying Okada a compliment.
Right.
I bet you Okada could beat him in a race car race too.
Yeah, but if they really wanted to be trolling, they should have said it was as good as Rocky Johnson's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, than Rocky Johnson.
Rocky Maivia had a hell of a drop kick back in the day. It wasn't as good as
It wasn't as pretty. He didn't get like as like Okada just gets completely parallel with the ring. His entire body like turns, you know, completely flat.
So back to the match. So they're running wild. They did the spot where everybody hits their move, you know, one after the other. And Eddie finally lowers his straps. He's chopping the crap out of Okada. Then Okada does a low blow and a DDT, but Pac tagged in, hit an enziguri. Matt tagged in, took out Pac. Penta hit a Canadian Destroyer. Nick with a super kick. Eddie necked him on the top rope. Eddie hits a spinning back fist. And then behind the ref's back, I think it was Matt, low blowed Eddie again. And then Okada hit Eddie with the Rainmaker. No, sorry, it's Nick that low blowed him.
Yep.
And Okada hit Eddie with the Rainmaker and he got the pin. So this is, I think this is going to be the formula is, you know, like Okada's going to win by cheating every time and the fans are going to cheer.
Yeah.
And that's going to be that. And they, I mean, it's funny because they were totally played their role during the whole match. Like they were cheering for the baby faces and booing the heels. But then when Okada won after a low blow, they cheered him.
Yeah.
So it's whatever.
You know, I never would have chosen to put Okada in the Elite and say that's going to be a great idea. But it's totally working, I think.
Oh, yeah.
For me.
I saw people that thought Mercedes should join with them. And I mean, I understand that thought process, but I mean, you couldn't do it tonight. I was calling for her to join with Swerve and Nana.
Yeah.
I just think it's a natural fit, you know, CEO, the moguls,
right.
Swerve's a total baby face. Now I think Nana's a baby face now too, because he wasn't there with Gates of Agony later.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that would work, but I mean, what they did work too. So, you know, who knows? I mean, at some point she's going to have allies, whether or not they're going to be men or women, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
We got a tape promo just to set up the Christian Copeland match for next week. Christian points out that he beat him twice. Copeland said he had the championship won and it was ripped out of his hands. Christian Cage said he's superior to you. And he said, this is a warning to what I'll do to hold on to my title. And they just showed the highlights of everything that's happened over the last couple months. Cage says he's going to put the final nail in Adam Copeland's coffin. I think Adam Copeland's winning that title next week.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Cope Cage 3. I love how hard Adam Copeland is trying to make Cope happen.
And he's conveniently neglecting that 12-second match he had with Killswitch.
That's the second match, isn't it?
With Christian, yeah. Like the one where he lost the title. He's not counting that one.
Oh, that one doesn't count? That wasn't one of the two? What was... They had one... Wait.
I'll answer this one after.
Okay.
No, I think the three, they had the first one where Christian won after, it was like, I can't remember what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Debuted, right. And then the second one was when he beat him.
Right.
And then the third one was technically when he lost after Killswitch gave Christian his contract. Yeah.
Which so I believe is recognized on the AEW.
It is.
Record on AEW.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So he's got an official loss there. So Tony Schiavone's in the yes. So Tony Schiavone's in the ring. This might have been the best thing on the show. He says AEW Dynasty Sunday, April 21st. One match is already signed, and it'll be a match you'll never forget. And it'll be Brian Danielson versus my guest, the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay. And he comes out. He's got a big pop. He's wearing a soccer jersey. I never noticed this before, and maybe they just added it, but they've got Ospreay right in his song now. Was that there before? I don't
know. I mean, it's not, it's the crowd doing it.
So it's not part of the song.
It might be embedded in the song the way that CEO seems to be.
Yeah.
But in New Japan, that was part of his entrance was he would.
So the crowd would just chant it.
After the bridge, he would point to the side and they would all chant Ospreay. So they carried it over. But
Is this song called Elevate?
I think it has a weird name that's not that, but yeah, Elevation. Oh. Elevate.
Because you,
yeah.
You made a comment to me in a chat. You said something about Elevation.
He's going
to
elevate.
And you said, pardon the pun. And I'm like, I don't know what the pun is. So your pardon.
I keep forgetting. I can't hit you with puns or memes.
No, you can if I get them, but yeah. I don't know the name of Will Ospreay's.
You just
no
sell them though. If you don't pick them up, you're like, yeah, it didn't work on me.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know what? I mean, I listened to it because I heard it on Collision and I heard a bit of it here. It's a good theme song.
It's a great song. Yeah.
I usually skip them. So Anyways, yeah. he's got a big pop, and he said he feels unbelievable. Fans are chanting "Bruv." It's funny because somebody said before he debuted, he's got to stop saying "Bruv" all the time.
Oh, please!
It's like that was the absolute dumbest thing I've ever read.
Yeah.
Tony asked what he wants to do, and he said he wants to talk to the beautiful people of Boston. Tony Khan had asked
Tony Khan asked him what he wanted to do. News story of how like they're just like they plan the shows by just saying what do you want to do.
I think that was a shoot.
Kind of exposed it. Yeah.
Remember he posted something last week that said he was done his first tour of AEW and it was great and blah, blah, blah. And he's going home. So everyone thought, oh, he's going to be gone for a few weeks. And then he responded to a tweet and he says, nah, bruv, I'm going to be there next week. Mm-hmm. And so next week is here. And I'm like, well, they haven't advertised him. So I'm assuming he's not here. And then literally like right before commercial, they said, oh, after the break, we're going to hear from Will Ospreay. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. So it's like literally he showed up at the building and D'Antoni's like, oh, you know, I don't got anything for you. What do you want to do? Let me go talk to the people. I flew all the way here.
Yeah.
So he says, my entire career, I wanted to emulate the career of Bryan Danielson. He says his enthusiasm for the independents, whether it was 50, 500 or 5,000 people, for all these beautiful people, he gives his best. And he says, I'm glad Danielson's a fan of my work. I've been telling people I'm the best in the world. Danielson told me to prove it. After my match with Kenny Omega, everyone was talking about one move, the Tiger Driver 91. They said you had no regard for his body. And the most violent man on live television, he's referring to Danielson, said, was it worth it? And speaking as the guy in the match with blood pissing out of my head, standing as the winner, I can tell you, bruv, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. And the fans start chanting, bruv, again. You see, Brian, while I respect you, this match means more to me and to people around the world. The moment I stepped foot in AEW, there's been a phrase following me and following everyone. I've never heard this phrase, by the way. Tony Khan knows it. Everyone knows it. Everyone but me. Restore the feeling, bruv. I am the feeling. This match is about reminding people what AEW is. You put the best wrestler in the world against the best wrestler of the 21st century, and one man walks out the winner. Let me tell you this. The one thing I learned from Bryan Danielson is I can have respect for the man opposite me. It's your life or mine, and I don't plan on dying, bruv. April 21st, this is about finding out who is the best wrestler in the world. Let me tell you, my name is Will Ospreay, and I am on another level. My God, what a promo.
Take my money.
I mean, I will say I was down on this slightly after his promo on Saturday because he basically said, you know, like Danielson is the gold standard. I got my sights on you, blah, blah, blah. Danielson just lost Eddie Kingston and Eddie Kingston is not the world champion. Like in storyline, Danielson's actually pretty far down the pecking order. So I'm like, is there like a mythical title of best wrestler in the world that these guys are fighting for? Well, in this promo, he explained what they're fighting for, and he made me care. And at this point, this mythical best wrestler in the world title is more valuable than the AEW world title. It's more valuable than the TNT title. It's
like,
this is the gold standard.
He, you might say he elevated it. He took it out of how Danielson's doing lately. Cause if you really add it up, Danielson's been on a losing streak,
but it's not about winning and losing. It's about the best wrestler.
It's about taking the torch from the last best wrestler in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
And being the new generational best wrestler in the world. And, I ate it up, man. His soccer jersey, I don't know if you noticed, was his own jersey. It said Billy Goat.
Oh, I didn't know. On the front. Cool.
It took me a second.
It's merch.
It's merch. Yeah.
Okay, cool. He's going to sell a lot of those.
Yeah, he's going to sell a lot of those.
Might buy one in Vegas.
This did terrify me a little bit because he basically promised that Bryan Danielson's taking a Tiger Driver 91.
I think he promised that he's going to do something worse.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, could be wrong.
Yeah. But, and I'm worried that Bryan Danielson's going to do it.
Yeah, well, Bryan Danielson, you know.
So let me explain
this
restore
saying.
The feeling.
Yeah, what is that?
So that was something that was going around during the Continental Classic.
Oh, okay.
When they brought that back,
yeah,
Daniel Garcia started it.
Okay.
And they started doing a hashtag, or in his promos, restore the feeling, restore the feeling. And the whole thing, they never really explained it, and they didn't talk about it on TV.
Was it more of a Twitter thing?
It was more of a Twitter thing, and more of those like backstage interviews.
Gotcha.
That you don't care to watch on Twitter. Nope. So it was the kind of thing that's really only for the people who are watching all those. And so, yeah, the thing of like, everybody knows it. Nobody knows it. Like, you
that's
know,
fine.
Like
he said Daniel, it here now, everybody knows it.
Daniel Garcia said it on a promo. I think it was that promo leading up to the Christian match. I think he said referenced okay. it, but like, it's not like a thing that's out there. But I did love the thing of him saying, bruv, I am the feeling. Like, yeah. what you're wanting from AEW is me. And I love him presenting that. And the thing that I've been trying to put the nail on, and I'm still, I know, like, I feel like you were more measured. Like, you're a huge Ospreay fan and very vocal about that. But I feel like you're very more measured about your expectations for how he's going to contribute to this company, you know? I think, mm-hmm. like, we all agree he's going to, the main events are going to knock it out of the park. Pay-per-views are going to be incredible.
Yeah.
But is he going to be a ratings draw? Is he going to be a big pay-per-view draw? We don't know yet. And clearly, it's not going to be an instantaneous thing if it is. The thing that I'm still feeling is Ospreay is bringing something they have not had since Cody left, is what I feel. And that is that person who can just genuinely come out and convince you that he's speaking from his heart. And I think he does it in a way that's a little more of a touch of Eddie Kingston, and that you really do believe it's from his heart, where Cody was like just really good at quote speaking from his heart, even though it was, you know, he's doing it, he's killing it in WWE doing that. And I think Ospreay can bring that. So it's like the idea in my mind, it's like you took Kenny Omega and put him in the Star Trek transporter machine with Cody Rhodes, and you have the in-ring of Cody Rhodes and the like, basically the character, I'm sorry, the in-ring of Omega with like the character work of Cody. And to me, I'm like, that is something that if they push him right, he could be that guy who does by August, you know, become something who's a must-see person.
Thank
you, Matthew.
The person I was talking to that I mentioned earlier, Dean, and I saw him in the chat here. I don't know if he's still listening. He made a comment, and you know, we were texting back and forth, that he said that he doesn't think there's anybody in the world that is as a complete package as Will Ospreay.
I agree.
In terms of the promos, the in-ring, you know, I guess, I don't know what else there is, like, you know,
yeah.
And I, you know, cause I'm a contrarian, and you know, and I'll say, well, sure. I think there is, and I gave him a bunch of names. I said, and Cody was one of the names I gave him.
Yeah.
And Gunther, Rollins and Joe, you know, that are all like complete packages. But you know, if I'm being honest, Will, you know, like, I mean, cause his in-ring is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it might be the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, it depends what you like, you know, and so, I mean, I'm sure there's still some people that watch it and don't like it for, you know, I mean, they'll say he's good.
Because it's too extreme.
Yeah, and he's reckless and whatever else that they might say. I disagree with that. I just love that style. But then you combine that with the personality, and we saw it here. I mean, there's no one, and what I was worried about, because I voted him number one on the promos, but I was worried that this wasn't going to translate to a North American audience, because he can't swear like he likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was totally clean in this promo, mm-hmm. and he had the fans every second.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know if he's being coached or if he's just that smart or what, but I mean, he's doing it and the fans are into him. So I think he's going to be a live ticket draw for sure. I'm extremely confident of that. Whether or not he's going to be ratings draw, we'll see. Cody wasn't for a long time. He is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so, and he's been a ticket sales draw since he got to WWE and probably even in AEW. But he was never a TV ratings draw until probably the last 6 months that I've really noticed it. So it might take a while for that, for Ospreay. But in terms of ticket sales, yeah. Like, I mean, if he's wrestling in your city, you're going.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, and you know, that, so I that, mean.
The problem with that is they're not great about about announcing whether or not, like, I the last Dynamite I went to was what would that have been?
Oklahoma,
it was in January.
Tulsa, right?
Tulsa.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks back.
I know where you went. You know,
And I had gone, I had been to, I think in the last 3 months, like two other shows.
Yeah.
And my buddy, Jimmy and I, when we were leaving, we were like, you know what? I think that's probably the last AEW show I'm going to pay to see live for a while, unless it's like a pay-per-view. Like if they bring a pay-per-view to Dallas, we'll
just go. Cause you don't know. Right.
Just cause you don't know. And it's like, I saw Hangman Danielson do a 1 hour draw. I saw Action Andretti beat Chris Jericho, you know, like I've seen the things, the great matches and the great surprises. I've kind of had my fill of like Dynamite.
Yeah.
Right. So unless they announce something, maybe the day of the show, I'll go see like, oh
yeah. Like if they were in Oklahoma City and they announced right. Ospreay,
but I'm not making an effort anymore.
Exactly.
And especially but Will Ospreay is someone, if they say, hey, Will Ospreay is going to fight Kyle Fletcher, I'm buying that ticket.
It honestly doesn't matter who he's wrestling.
No, but if it's like, you know, Brian Keith, I'll be like, well, okay, that'll be fine. But
that's going to be great. I'm sorry. So I have a
that actually that would be good.
I have a friend like you who, like, I go to all the WWE shows with him. We've been WWE fans for, you know, 40 years. And we went to the AEW show in Winnipeg last year, and he enjoyed the show. He's off and on watched AEW like since it started. When it first started, he was really hyped. Then he was down on it for a while. Then he was back into it. Then he was down on it. I don't know what he is now. But when I called him up when the tickets were on sale, I said, hey, do you want to go to the AEW show? He's like, are you able to get comped? And I was like, I don't know. And he says, well, unless it's free, I'm not going. So that was his attitude.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like I'm gonna get like a primo seat. I'm gonna go on like StubHub or something. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be in the front row. That's my goal. I got a nice tax return. I can afford a front row seat. So yeah. Dean is listening. He's gonna buy a ticket for Ospreay versus Vacant. Yeah, I'm right there with you. So
yeah,
I would too. So anyways, we're going slow here, so we gotta get moving on the show. Great promo from Will Ospreay. And they announced here that on Rampage, Storm and Mariah May are going to be in tag team action. So that's interesting. No Tony on this show, by the way. And then we get a taped Deonna promo. And I thought this was pretty good. She says, you think this is over after you DDT'd me on the ramp? You've learned nothing. If you want this to be a numbers game, I got no problem finding a partner and meeting you next week in Toronto. Maybe I'll stick around and take a closer look when you wrestle on Rampage. I suggest you watch for the shoe because it's headed straight up your ass. So that's the second time she's closed a promo with like straight up your ass, and it worked both times. So it might be her catchphrase. I don't know. Yeah. I thought this was all right. She's losing that that little tinge in her voice that she had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little vibrato.
Yeah. So that's good. I think taped is good with her for sure.
Yeah. That's a weird thing that it's a real thing that people really have to work at. It doesn't necessarily mean you're nervous, but there is like a biological. I do that when I'm speaking in front of a group. Like I'm talking to you, I'm fine. Even though, you know, we're watched by tens of people right now.
Do you see the count?
No.
There's a lot of people watching right now.
Oh, good. Hi, guys. but if I'm speaking in front of a group of people, my voice will do like a little tremble sometimes, and it's just the way I'm breathing, and I can be totally relaxed. So it's really frustrating to try to get rid of. So
you want to know something funny? I was watching just a couple weeks ago. It was on the WWE Network up here in Canada because it's a channel, and they were airing the original Mae Young Classic. And Deonna Purrazzo wrestled. I can't remember who it was. It was actually a match that, like, if it was on right now, it'd actually be like a really big match. It might have been Kairi Sane or Io Sky. No, it was Io Shirai. That's who it was. And she did a promo before the match. None of that vibrato thing. Like, but it was taped, and so like it was a good promo. She looked good. Like. But you could tell, like, in the ring, she wasn't quite as good as she is now. But as a character, she was better then than she is now. Like, but that's WWE, you know, like, their slick production and everything. So it's harder when you have to go out there and just be yourself and be like, you know, you don't have the WWE, like, push behind you, and you just have to be Deonna. So,
Ospreay
versus Wardlow, I'd buy a ticket for that.
Yeah, I would too. There was a, so I won't get into the story cause we're running behind, but I basically missed the chance this Monday to go see a panel at South by Southwest.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Tony Khan and Bryan Danielson, which I've always wanted to meet Bryan Danielson. So I'm really kicking myself. But one of the things they mentioned at it was how Britt Baker said that, when she was first coming in, she never really did promos, and then they wanted her to be heel and she didn't really know how to do it. and she felt really self-conscious and everything. And I guess she was kind of merging it because Brian Danielson wasn't around then, but I don't know if they were in con. I don't know. Anyway, she said that one of the tips that Brian Danielson gives people that he used when he was coming up was singing karaoke.
Oh, like,
go
yeah.
to karaoke bars and sing karaoke because it shakes out that you're letting yourself look ridiculous in front of people. And it kind of shakes out that thing. And he said that's what he used to do when he was a young wrestler to get more comfortable being in front of people. So that was really interesting. Maybe Deanna needs to hit the karaoke bar.
You know, what's funny is I saw that, but for some reason I thought they were talking about Brian Alvarez, and I was trying to picture Brian Alvarez at karaoke.
Yeah.
And we go to Vegas every year and we do karaoke. Yeah,
I was going
to
say,
he's never
there.
No.
Well, maybe you need to get Deanna out there there this man.
I'll invite her next. I'll send her a DM. I think we might've exchanged a couple DMs. All right. Jay White and Darby Allin. This match was not great. I don't know what happened. Like, the work itself was fine, but the crowd was dead. I don't know what was going on.
I think they were just tired. Yeah.
I've never seen a crowd this dead for a Darby match. Like, there were spots that are guaranteed to get the crowd fired up, and they're just nothing. Like, he'd hit his coffin drop, nothing.
And it was weird because they were up for the entrances.
Yes.
It was very WWE in that way, that it was like.
Joe Wardlow was the same.
Yeah. And it wasn't like. It was weird. It wasn't like they weren't into it. They were just quiet.
This might have been a WWE crowd. You know, you think about
it. Like,
you know, like if, you know, they're there for Sasha or Mercedes. Yeah. Like, so, you know, they had their match. They did good work. Jay White does a lot of stalling, so that doesn't help. Mm-hmm. The key in this thing was Darby was wrapped up like a mummy.
Yeah.
His whole like midsection was wrapped up. He had another bandage going around to one of his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so Jay White was constantly working over his chop, and he chopped him so much that he like knocked the bandages off him. Mm-hmm. And then you could see the bandages under the bandages that were starting to open up, and it was kind of gross. Yeah. And Darby's having a hard time walking, and I'm just watching this match and I'm thinking, dude, like, could you have just put someone else in this match and given Darby like some time off? And they kept talking about how he's, you know, he's going to do Everest and everything. And that played into what happened after the match. But so they finally, like, you know, they do. Darby went to the top. He went for his coffin drop. White tried to leave the ring. And Darby instead reverses. And he looks at Jay White on the apron. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do the coffin drop on the apron. So he dives for the coffin drop. Jay White kind of got out of the way. He hit him a little bit, but he hit mostly his own body. And he just, with a thud. And then lands on the ground, and then Jay White rolls into the ring, and the ref's counting, you know, 1, 2, 3. Darby is dead. Like, he's not moving. And I'm thinking, okay, they're just going to do a count out. Like, you know, at 9, all of a sudden Darby jumps up into the ring. It's great near fall or near count out.
Yeah.
And then and then Jay White grabbed him immediately, hit the Blade Runner and pinned him.
Yeah.
I thought the finish was great.
Like, I thought it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, like I love a finish like that. The match itself was good. Like, again, good, not great, like every other match in this show, except for one. But it was, but just no heat at all, unfortunately. But and then the other thing is there was tons of heat for the angle that they did after the match. So I think the crowd just wanted what they wanted. So
I also think they had some of the, like, they were clearly there for Mercedes, and they already had that. Then they got a world title match. Then Will Ospreay cut out and like hyped them up. And I think it was just one of those things where it was the equivalent of the, you know, the potty break match. I think everyone was just like,
oh, and they also saw the Okada Elite and all that.
Right. Too. Yeah, exactly. So I think it was just like, they were just a little down. And, boy, Darby, I hope this dude doesn't get a staph infection. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's going to try to climb Mount Everest with a gaping, you know, thing. That's real deal risk.
2% of the people that try to climb Everest die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legit.
And that's not even counting the people who get frostbitten or like lose fingers.
Right. Die.
Right.
You know, and Darby is the kind of guy that's, he's not going to give up. Like,
right. A lot someone will have to tell him we're calling it.
A lot of the people try and don't finish it, and they turn around.
Yeah.
He'll be doing it in a team. So I guess if the rest of the team leaves, he's not going to go up by himself. I hope not. So that was, so he lost, put Jay White over clean. So I think they must have big plans for Jay White.
I did like the other thing I liked about the finish, besides the surprise, was that how well it served both, in that Darby essentially beat himself, but also Jay White took advantage of it and it worked really well.
Well, Jay, I mean, Darby could have just stayed outside the ring and taken the count out loss.
Yeah.
But he jumped in the ring because he didn't want to get counted out. And then immediately Jay White didn't just go, ah,
Jay White, the opportunist. Yeah. Like it worked really well for both. So it was a good finish.
So after the match, the Guns come in and they're like pretending like they're congratulating Darby. Jay White offered him a handshake and then Darby goes to shake his hand. But then Jay White gives him the gun sign and the Guns attacked him. And White bailed and he tossed in a chair and then he grabs Sting's bat. Guns held him down and they're taking forever. So I'm thinking, okay, who's going to make the save? And funny enough, out comes the Acclaimed, you know, and Billy Gunn. And Billy gets right in Jay's face and he's like, what's going on? What are you doing? And I thought, like, it felt like the Acclaimed were going to join in on the attack.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And it didn't happen. They helped him up. They start walking Darby to the back. And I'm like, okay, they're going to drop him at some point.
And the Guns hold the ropes for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the weird thing, right? So they let him out. And then what happened? So Jay White lays out Billy Gunn with the chair. And then the Acclaimed dropped Darby in the aisle. They just left him for dead.
Yeah.
And they run back into the ring to attack the Guns. And then the Guns quickly took over on them. And Jay picked Billy up, gave him the Blade Runner. The Guns tossed Darby back in the ring. And they pilmanized his ankle with the baseball bat. Crowds just booing the crap out of this. Like, there is lots of heat for this. And the idea, I think, here was, I'll mention Dean again. The chatting, we were going back and forth, and he thought it was kind of dumb that they would say, you know, tell us that he's leaving to go climb Mount Everest and then do this injury angle.
And then write him out, yeah.
But I think the idea is supposed to be that maybe this injury is going to cost him his chance to climb Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think the subtext here is, even though he's obviously going to go anyways.
Even that, it's still like the thing of, like, they're trying to take his dream away from him, you know?
Yeah, the dream of climbing Everest, right?
Right.
It's not about wrestling. So I guess that's why they had to do this. And, you know, eventually, I guess when Darby comes back, if Darby comes back, there'll be a big feud with Jay White down the road. And hopefully Jay White's got a title by then or something. And I mean, him beating Darby clean, like, Darby loses a lot, but, you know, he's still, you know, I'd say he's still high mid-carder.
Yeah.
Next we got, oh my God. So this new team of Lion Hook.
Oh gosh.
What a dumb name. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like it makes me long for Jericho. Chris Jericho, but he's not Chris Jericho anymore. He's the Lionheart Chris Jericho and Hook. And he doesn't even use his Judas music anymore. He's got his White Zombie, you know, like 1993 Mexican music. And they're wrestling Gates of Agony, and the Gates of Agony come out and they got these weird costumes I've never seen before. No Prince Nana. And
which is weird because they announced him with them, but he sure didn't come out.
Yeah. Did he, like, sometimes what happens is the guys come out and then they go back.
They just
stay. That's what happened in the main event.
I didn't see them.
Because Chris Statlander and Stokely came out with Willow and then they left.
Stokely too.
Well, he was there. Like, he came out, but then he left. They basically come halfway down the aisle and then they go to the ring and then they go back.
Yeah.
But anyways, they had this match and it was just, the crowd didn't care. Hook like was getting no reaction to anything. Chris Jericho would get reactions to his signature move. So again, you know, total WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finish came, the Gates of Agony collided head, and then Hook put the red rum on Bishop Khan. And then Jericho comes in and he puts on the walls on Khan while Hook still has a red rum in. Aubrey's sitting right there, staring right at them, not counting, not doing nothing. They were in for way more than a five count. And eventually Jericho let it go. And then he drop kicked Leone off the ropes. And then Hook like cinched in the red rum even more, and Khan tapped. And this was just, like, just a weird match, and it wasn't very good, and
the
crowd didn't care, and this was like the standard women's match that airs right before the main event,
but
it was the guys
at Jericho. This was one of the more transparent examples of Chris Jericho like claiming to like help a young guy, and he's really just clout chasing, or, you know, just like being a barnacle on the young star.
It's gonna be worse.
Like, he may as well have been coming out like that Simpsons I'm going to drop a meme on you again. The, you know, hello, you know, or like, what was the actor? Oh, Steve Buscemi, like, hello, fellow teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, that you one know. I know. That one I know.
Yeah, because it's from the 90s. We were there for it. But, like, him coming out as Lionheart and, like, palling around with Hook and being like, you know, I see something in you and all this stuff, you know, it's just like...
Well, there's a pattern here. He had Atlantis Jr., mm-hmm. and he had Titan. No. Mm-hmm. He had two Mexican guys that he had wrestled their dads before, and then now Hook, who he's mm-hmm. wrestled Taz before. So there's got to be an end game somewhere. Like, I'm trying to think in my head, is there like a second generation star? Nick Wayne's there. Like, I suppose he could do that, but I don't know if Jericho ever wrestled Buddy. But there's got to be someone out there that we're not thinking of. That
maybe like Jericho discovered that he had fathered a son in the late 90s or something, and he's a wrestler and. They'll bring in a guy and he'll be like,
maybe they could do that with Griff Garrison. Just pretend that he's
just pretend he's young Jericho. He comes up with a top knot. And
like his mom was a rat back in the 90s.
And he's like, yeah.
Well, I had the gimmick. Who was it? Back in the, I'm drawing a blank here. Anthony Henry's the guy in the Workhorseman, right? Anthony Green. Was a guy, and he looks like, if you really look at him, there's that guy in TNA that was Swinger that was playing the old like 80s wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I had to get the idea that they should bring in Anthony Green and have him as Swinger's love child, you know, and do that gimmick. So yeah, they could do that with Griff Garrison and Jericho. Yeah. Like, he totally looks like a young Jericho.
Anthony Green. Yeah.
Yeah. And his retro something is his gimmick. It was here they announced Collision. We're going to get Kyle O'Reilly against Brian Keith. And we get an interview right away, actually. Renee with Kyle. And Renee says, tonight's a huge night for AEW. Lots changed recently. What do you think of all the changes? And Kyle says, well, for 2 years, the thought of never wrestling again was the least of my problems. I couldn't pick up my daughter, but eventually my back and my arm got better. And now I look at the roster and I wonder if I can still hang. And the most competitive roster in the history of our sport, but I've had my sights set on this guy. This guy that can bring out that Kyle O'Reilly, the bounty hunter, Brian Keith.
The hunter is now the hunted.
Yeah. We have a date this Saturday on Collision in my home country. And then he gets interrupted. Kyle! And Kyle smiles at him. And then Roddy says, you know how much respect and love I have for you? He says, if you want to do this on your own, do it on your own. And he bangs fists with him. And then Mike Bennett and Matt Taven bang fists with him. And Kyle says, this Saturday, first match back, and I'm going to do it on my own. And he walks away, and Renee, good luck. And it was a nice little feel-good segment. So you had a theory, you said earlier, about the future of the kingdom and Kyle O'Reilly. And I had said...
I should have written it down.
What I said at the time, maybe this will draw your memory. I said, I feel like this is eventually going to lead to Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole together and screw off the rest of them. Maybe they'll keep Taven, but... No Bennett, no Wardlow.
I should have written it down. I lost it.
Oh,
well. Should have just blurted it out at the time.
You'll tell me in the chat after.
Yeah,
When you're listening,
I'll put it. I'll come back to this this replay on YouTube and type it in the chat.
All right.
it does seem clear that because he did have that weird thing where it kind of hit him, like he kind of had a moment where he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to do it on my own," like he's never done that before, which is interesting because there have been stretches where Kyle has been a singles.
Well, he was cool Kyle in NXT.
Cool Kyle, and then in New Japan, probably is not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the junior champion.
Yeah. But it's clearly a thing. There's a thing happening with him, and I don't
know. You almost get the feeling that Roddy's actually going to help him out and interfere, and Kyle's going to be okay mm-hmm. with it. Like, it might be that.
Or maybe he'll lose. That was my theory, was that this might be Brian Keith's big win.
Oh, okay, and then
that could be that he comes out and he loses that first match to Brian Keith, and he can't get it. He's like can't really figure out how to get it done. So he eventually goes into the kingdom because he lost his confidence.
Yeah, that could be.
I would love it if Brian Keith got a win.
Yeah, I saw him get a win on an indie show I watched a little while ago. I was very excited. He finally got a bounty. It was against Mansoor, I think. I think that's.
I bet that was surprisingly good.
It was. They show this is where they showed that video package I talked about earlier with Riho and Willow, and then we go backstage to Renee with Jera Hook or whatever Lion Hook, and when she introduced them, the crowd kind of booed, and she asked Jericho if Hook's earned his respect. Jericho says he rose to the occasion, called him a future world champion. As much as I learned standing next to you, I need to know what it's like to stand across from you. So next week on Dynamite, live from Toronto, I'm challenging you. Lionheart Chris Jericho versus Hook. And Hook said, let's do it. And that was that.
I love Hook's like fake deep voice.
Yeah, let's do like, it.
Yeah. I imagine right, when he goes back there, he's like, hey, guys, what's going on at catering? And then he goes to the camera. He's, hey,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah, so next week Jericho and Hook. I don't get why we always get these partners wrestling each other in AEW. All friends wrestling. Yeah. But clearly there's something going on with Jericho and second generation wrestlers. So mm-hmm. I thought this was just basically like that match against Gates of Agony was to set them up for the tag team tournament, and I suppose we could still get that.
Which they did not mention once tonight, did they?
Nope. And doesn't it start on Saturday? I'm almost positive it's starting,
but I have missed a little bit.
Well, they said on Collision, I'm almost positive they said on Collision that it would start next week on Collision.
Yeah.
So we don't have brackets. We don't know what teams are in it. I think FTR is in it. I think the Workhorsemen. No, who was it that they got in the ring with? It was the Infantry.
Yeah.
So FTR and the Infantry and the Bucks. That's who's in it right now.
Yeah.
Orange Cassidy and Trent. I believe are also in it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So maybe it's just those four teams.
It's going to be cracking tournament so far.
Tony's got all these brackets we're going to fill up.
Yeah. I'm
waiting for those brackets. All right. Main event. Dasha introduced the main event. Was she on for the whole show or just the main event? I didn't notice.
I think it was the whole show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did. She introduced for the main event and she was clearly really excited. And when the match started, the crowd was, they were into it. Like they were chanting, you know, let's go Willow, let's go Riho. Mm-hmm. They, you know, Riho's a nice plucky baby face to get behind. But as the match went on, it was tough because I think they really liked Willow more, but Riho is hard to boo. So some of the stuff was just getting weird reactions. I wouldn't say the crowd was dead, but they weren't really reacting the way you were expecting them to react.
Right. And they've been teasing the heel thing with Willow. So I think even the people who are like regular followers are like, I'm not sure how to act during this.
Which they completely dropped. Not a hint of a heel thing with
Willow. I wonder if that's a Mercedes thing.
That's what I was wondering as well.
Because I think if this hadn't been the Mercedes night, I think when she came in and they actually probably just talked for the first time tonight about where do you want to go from here? And she's like, well, I think I should pick up with Willow. She'd be a great first opponent. Maybe do a tag match or something, you know, and they probably decided that today. And then they were like, oh yeah, well tonight she was going to beat Willow and cheat, she's going to beat Riho and cheat to win. And I could see Mercedes being like, no, let's not do that.
Well, I think
that's pure speculation on my part.
What I was thinking leading into this was it felt like they were setting up a Willow heel turn to set her up for Mercedes. So Mercedes could get her win back. Mm-hmm. And so maybe what Mercedes decided is, no, I'm going to wrestle her as a babyface. And I'm going to beat her and then I'm going to wrestle Julia. I'm going to take your title.
Realign the Mercedes timeline.
I'm going to hold the title for 6 months. I'm going to disappear like Jay did. Then I'm going to go to WWE. No, I'm
just like, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a pretty logical plan.
Yeah. I think she's here for the long haul. I'm very interested to see how long she's signed for though. Yeah. But anyways, the finishing part of this match was where was it here? So they did she kept going for a double foot stomp. She finally hit it outside the ring, and then she rolled her back in the ring. This is where they got a light "This is awesome" chant, and then it actually picked up steam. Riho's in the ring waiting for Willow to get back. She did a dragon suplex on the apron. Then she did a double foot stomp to the outside or in the inside of the apron. That got a two. Crowd got really into that near fall. Excalibur pointed out that Monet is watching from somewhere. Riho missed a knee strike. She chopped Willow, but Willow no-sold it. Riho hit a high knee. Willow took her down with a lariat. Then she lowered her straps like Wardlow did earlier. Riho rolled her up for two. And then Willow picks her up. And gives her a gut wrench doctor bomb and pins her. like, you know, clean in the middle. No cheating. Stoke wasn't there. Statlander wasn't there. And yeah, she got the clean win. They, you know, they kind of like kind of embraced a little bit afterwards. And yeah, that was, I thought really, it was a good main event. It wasn't really a Dynamite main event caliber match, but
no,
it got good heat. And I mean, I've seen a lot worse.
If it especially had been when,
if
it had been the second match in the second hour, you probably would have been like, that was a good match.
Well, yeah, I mean, it might, I mean, depending on your perspective, it might have even been the best match on the show. Like, I would say the best match was probably the Elite Six Man, but I mean, there was a lot of matches that were kind of all at the same level, in my opinion, on this show. So, but I mean, I thought, like, for the position they were in, it's very difficult for a loaded card like this. Like I said, our initial reaction when they announced this show, when Mercedes said that Riho and Mercedes and Willow were going to be in the main event,
right?
Your reaction was, ooh.
Like, yeah,
really?
Really? And
for that perspective, I thought they did good.
So, yeah, yeah, you're right.
I was just looking at cage match. So you know what's funny is that, you know, I said about everything getting the same. Like, there's this got the exact same rating as the Jay White Darby Allin match, and it was almost the same as the Samoa Joe Wardlow. And there's not enough votes for the other two, but I'll bet you they were very close. I bet
they're about the same.
Yeah, like 7.33 out of 10. Which
do
is,
you, it seemed like there was a really long overrun. Did you?
So there was a 5 minute overrun, but I'd say about 4 minutes of that was after the match.
Just hyping the match. Yeah.
Well, no. So
hyping the next week's show.
So what happened after the match was, they put over that Willow wanted the TBS championship. The lights went out and, the crowd starts chanting CEO. But instead, Julia Hart comes out. And so so Willow's staring at her, but then Sky Blue attacks her from behind, chop blocked her knee. Now it's a two-on-one attack, and the crowd starts chanting CEO again. And so Mercedes' music starts, and Julia stopped the attack.
The full intro.
Yeah, she watched, and Mercedes posed, and she sauntered down to the ring.
With a wardrobe change, no less.
Yes, yeah. And so she didn't run down to make the save. She did her entrance. And Sky attacked her, you know, true ninja style. And she laid her out. And then Excalibur asked, whose side is she on? And laughed, which was completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And then Mercedes and Julia did a stare off. And then Mercedes gave her the, I can't remember what they call it now, but it's basically the bank statement, right? But it's called something else now. Or maybe it's not.
She did that weird, the bank statement was kind of like that lung blower move.
Right. This is the move she used in New Japan. I can't remember what it's called.
That got botched a lot.
Yeah. She hit this one good though.
Yeah. She did.
And the crowd chanted CEO, CEO, and Willow raised her hand. So it looks like we're going to get, initially, I think we're going to get Willow and Julia.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get tag, and then we're going to get Willow and Julia. Julia will win.
Pay-per-view, maybe.
And then I think we're going to get Mercedes and Julia at the pay per view.
Mercedes and Julia. Oh, okay. I was thinking they would,
or maybe Double or Nothing. Maybe they'll wait for Double or Nothing for that one.
Yeah, I was thinking it'd be Mercedes and Willow at the pay per view.
Oh, at Dynasty.
Yeah,
that's a month. That's 5 weeks away.
Yeah, you're right.
They could do that on TV. That could be a TV main event to set up, like a title match. Then, you know, maybe Mercedes gets the pin, she gets the title match, or she could beat Julia, and then you could do Julia Mercedes or Willow Mercedes for the title at Double or Nothing. You know, and then Mercedes gets her win back there.
Yeah, you know? do a rubber match.
Yeah,
I could see that. I love Julia Hart being invested in and continuing to grow, but I have zero problem with Mercedes coming in and winning the TBS title right out of the gate.
Matt had a question earlier. Do you think Mercedes faces Stephanie Vaquer, who I believe just won the New Japan Strong title, right? Or was it the IWGP Women's? I think no, it was the New Japan Strong. Matt will tell us. I believe no.
I would say no. If I were Tony Khan, I'd be like, you're not going anywhere near a New Japan.
Not at least show. Until you get your first match in AW.
Yeah.
Now, if she has a match, it was a strong title, Tuan tells us. Okay. And Matt as well. So I don't think so, just because I think that they would want her first match to be in AW in North America. But we'll see. If he wants to be a good partner.
Yeah,
we didn't mention this earlier. Like,
you need to be only with us, because if you're going to get hurt, it's going to be in our show. To be
one thing
to be
that
crass
we didn't
about it.
we didn't mention earlier, but the president of Stardom was backstage at AEW.
Oh, yes. And yeah. there was an image shared of someone who was there early enough to see them like trying out to like testing some of the videos, and saw a video like a Titantron type or a Tonytron or whatever you want to call it of Mina Shirakawa.
Oh, I thought like I just assumed she actually had a match, like maybe on like
maybe it's on Rampage. I haven't seen the
or Rampage.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the notes from the taping, so maybe that was it. Maybe
so. New Japan shows April 12th. So I guess it depends when her first match in AEW is. If I've said Contron all the time. If her first match is gonna be a Dynasty, then that's April 21st. There's no way she's doing an NJPW match before that. Mina did have a match, so that okay. They were just testing that.
Great.
Yeah. So like that's her. Good.
I think she'll translate well to America.
I'm not familiar, but I'm looking forward to it. I do watch ROH. I'm an ROH historian, so I'm required to by law.
Yes.
We didn't mention Kevin Kelly got fired. Oh well, that's about all we need to talk about that.
Yeah. No comment on that.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was Dynamite. I thought, you know, I guess I was pretty good. I wasn't too hard on the show. I don't think I enjoyed
it. Good show. Felt fresh. Like it feels like they are in a new season.
Between the new graphics and the big crowds, and we're gonna have another big crowd next week, and you know, the new people coming in, and Ospreay just breathes a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I do wonder, and I guess this is a good problem to have, but I think there's a lot of people in that locker room that are going to be lost in the shuffle because there's only so much airtime to go around, and nobody's watching Collision and nobody's watching Rampage. So if you're not on Dynamite, you might as well not even be in the company. As you know, like, I'm sorry to say, but you know, like the diehard AEW fans, some of them aren't watching Collision, you know?
I missed it this weekend because I was in Austin and I didn't go back.
Yeah, like it's just, and then when you read about it, it's like, it sounds like a bunch of good matches, and I got time, I'll watch them, but it's none of it's necessary viewing. I do watch it, and I'm not saying it's a bad show at all, but if you're working Collision and you're working Rampage,
it's missable.
Very much so. So, and I think you even hear it in some of the reactions that you get. Like, I think that maybe that explains the Jay White thing. Because he's a Collision cowboy, right?
Collision cowboy, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not on Dynamite that often. So, you know, between that and this being a WWE crowd, they might not even have known who he is. I'm sure they know Darby.
Yeah.
You know, especially coming off that Sting match. But, I mean, Darby was a shell of himself, almost literally.
He was like zombie Darby, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's just about it. We almost had our 90 minutes.
Next week, did you see the matches they announced next week real quick?
I did. So we got Hook and Jericho. We got I don't know if they announced anything else. Hang on, I gotta find.
They announced Jericho Hook. They're gonna hear from Mercedes, so cut a promo.
Yeah, and Christian
Cage Copeland.
Yeah,
and then Eddie Kingston versus Okada.
Oh my god. So yeah,
they the Continental Championship on its own.
Yes. And it's Continental Classic rules, meaning no outside interference is allowed.
Yep.
So, I don't think outside interference is allowed in any match. But
it just means they all agree, I guess. I don't know.
I think it means like you get fired or something. Like, I don't know.
But they specifically pointed out that if Okada wins, it breaks up the Triple Crown.
Yes, it's only that belt, and the other, and which is good because then you can have Eddie Kingston defend the ROH title in ROH.
Yeah.
But the other thing is they announced this match during the Overrun. They didn't announce it during the six man. Like I was baffled.
They did. They did. Cause I wrote it down then, but he
really,
they were doing it during that's when I wrote it down was during the match, but they were doing it during like a peak in the match. So Excalibur was like, he would mention something and then something would happen in the match and he was calling the match at the same time he was doing it.
Did you watch on Fight?
Yeah.
Could it have been during commercial?
Was it in commercial? It might have been during commercial.
Okay. Because the first time I saw it was in a graphic in the main event after the main event.
I assumed that it wasn't during commercial because it was actually like a part where they were getting some reactions and he was like, you know, we'll have Eddie versus kind of, oh my gosh, you know, like he would interrupt.
But I mean, that's a big match. I mean, I hope, I hope they pump the hell out of this weekend and on Twitter and all that. Mercedes was hugging a bunch of people at ringside. Looked like family, some of them. But yeah, that's it. So they got three matches, and then we'll hear from Mercedes. So Mercedes will be in Toronto. That's going to be a big show next week. I think I'm going to enjoy next week more than I enjoyed this week.
Oh,
just I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jericho Christian is going to be good. Or, I mean, Christian Cage and Cope. Yeah. Jericho and Hook is not going to be very good.
He just can't have more than one syllable in his name. So
he's, no. Yeah. Christian Cope. All right. Do you have anything to plug?
Not really, no.
No?
No.
Hey, we said earlier, I think Copeland's going to be the new TNT champion.
Yeah, I think Copeland's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Okada's going to win that Continental Classic belt. Continental Crown. Oh, it's the Continental.
The Crown is the combination of belts. I think the Crown is the combination.
Okay.
But the Continental title.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right. I don't really have anything else other to plug in this show either. Other than occasionally I do shows with David Lovell on his Facebook, but I don't think we had anything scheduled. So, we're on a bit of a hiatus that might be permanent within the clinch. So, stay tuned for that. Tune in next week. Maybe Jeff will be back. Hopefully, if not, maybe it'll be Kevin. Maybe it'll be somebody else. But we'll let you know on social. So I want to thank Kevin again for stepping in Jeff's shoes. And I want to also, again, take the time to wish.
Love you, Jeff.
Yeah, we love you. And we look forward to hearing from you again. So for Kevin, I've been Paul. And this has been The Dynamite Show. Later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger. Offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.